This is the Native Youth Program coming to you from CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of British Columbia on the unceded traditional and ancestral territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking people of Musqueam Nation.
This summer, the six of us took part in the Museum of Anthropology's Native Youth Program, a program where Indigenous youth, like us, learn about our culture and land. Over the last month, we learned how to make radio here at CITR with our radio mentors, Tristan Wheeler and Alex DeBoer.
Hey, everyone.
Hi. We used what Tristan and Alex taught us about radio production to each make a 3 to 5 minute audio piece reflecting on our own relationships with our Indigenous identities as urban Native youths. We each took our own approach. Some stories involve spoken word poetry, others use radio drama, music, and soundscapes.
And now we present to you our collection of radio pieces. Each audio story is followed by a short interview with its creator, conducted by Tristan. For more info about the NYP, visit moa.ubc.ca/NYP.
I'm just having a nice walk on Musqueam. It's so nice, so peaceful. You can hear the birds and nature.
Hey neighbor, what you up to, eh?
Oh hey, just off to a family dinner at Papa's on the other side of the res. Where are you off to driving around?
Oh hey, jump in. I'm just going for a drive, eh, so I can drop you off.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, so if you're not doing anything, want to come to the dinner? They said we could invite others too, not just family. We're going to have fish and bannock.
Fish, bannock, heck yeah, I'm in.
Okay, sounds great to me. It's so different and loud. It's nice, but where's the peace? I don't know very many people, but they're all far from me, so what if I need help or support? As I'm walking, I notice this person staring at me as we get closer. When they get to me, they stop and start talking to me.
Do you pay taxes? Why free health care? Why do all First Nations students drop out all the time? Why do you blame us for something that happened hundreds of years ago in Canada? Why is everyone still so upset about the missing and murdered Indigenous women? It's not even our problem.
Why do people do this and just attack us with so many hard-to-answer questions and topics? Like, I didn't come here to be attacked with all this. I just want to be who I am. I want to be without all these negative questions and comments. But these people don't know our past and need to be better educated on our perspective of it. This short little skit was by myself, Shandell Fraser. And I would also like to give credits to Logan Grant and Megan Jensen for doing the voice acting, and also myself for doing the narration and other voice acting as well. And that's all I have, and thank you for listening to my podcast. Hi, I'm Shandell Fraser, and I am 17 years old, and I am from Musqueam.
So, Shandell, what does your podcast mean to you?
Well, it kind of means a lot to me because it kind of explains how the difference is between living on and off reserve. And, like, most people don't really notice how big of a difference there is between the two. So I thought I would make it about that.
Mm-hmm. How did you become involved with the Native Youth Program?
Well, I found out about the Native Youth Program probably kind of a little bit last minute. And I saw it in the newsletter in Musqueam, so I had looked at it and I was really interested in it because I was never really into, like, my background or anything, really.
What was your connection to your Indigenous heritage before your involvement with the Native Youth Program?
Well, before, I wasn't really too interested in it. But like later on, I wanted to become more a part of it and learn more about it because like for most of my life, I didn't know a lot about it.
What was one moment that felt transformative for you at NYP?
I'm not really too sure, really. Yeah.
Are there any challenges you face in your life that you feel NYP has helped you with?
Yeah, it helped me with how to approach those kind of like rude questions we get about being Indigenous and our history and all that. So like it's like, yeah, I'm not really too sure.
What was your favorite activity or workshop at the Museum of Anthropology?
Oh, there's a lot. I really liked it when Shosho came in. Shosho Esquiro. And she taught us like a lot of techniques about beading. And also, I really liked it when Hannah's mom came in. And she taught us weaving. So I'd say those two are probably my top favorite.
Cool. Thanks, Shendell.
Yeah, thank you.
Stood there in silence, questioning why his mother is crying. So innocent, voice and hands shaking, he asks so calmly, "What's wrong?" His mother, with a shattered heart, she responds, "We fight and we fight, but we're still left empty in our hearts and in our minds. The pain, the lies, too unbearable." The little boy couldn't bear to watch his mother in so much pain, and the years go by and nothing changes. Now looking back, I could be angry about how oblivious I was, or I can take these emotions and throw it in the face of adversity. But still all the men in suits, our so-called leaders, they leave us with dead lies and expect us to feed off of their ignorance. Our divided species asks if we just have to learn how to cope, or do we just lose all hope? Decolonization before reconciliation, but you can't even seem to get that right. You're all blinded by your shallowness and stupidity. And Justin Trudeau, the creator of all destruction in our environment, the source of all our problems, so weak, so toxic, the broken promises, if anyone can turn their own people against them, it's you. The discrimination I get from me just being me is bad enough, but having a joke for a prime minister to try to lead us into dead ends, trying to make us believe that having faith will all lead into a failing cause? No honor, no respect. Everything you've created is nothing but a big mess. Canada, not a place that's true, nor strong, nor free, maybe north, but that's the only thing you could ever get right. Only a place of lies, genocide, or silence. We got nothing but dishonored treaties, our destroyed lands, and Kinder Morgan, and our expansion? What gives you the right? Have you ever heard of unceded? Not given, not borrowed, but stolen. Your intellect must be challenged, because we were taught as children that no means no. This will not benefit anyone, but big surprise, you're too blind to see it. I feel sorry that you've decided to go take the corporate route instead of actually using your head. Water is life. Without it, we can't survive. Colonization is nothing but a corrupt way of living. And it's not me. I'm not willing to stand by a leader that speaks nonsense. You're a disgrace to all people kind. And still you have the audacity to cry when any wrongdoing happens to you. No honor, no respect. Everything you've created is nothing but a big mess. A poem that I wrote over this program, and it was a spoken word, and the song that you just heard was composed by my uncle Robert Williams. The song belongs to him, and the one who is saying it and the one who read out the poem is me, Aramis Henius, and I just want to give a big thanks to the NYP for making my experience and my employment at the museum so much more better than it already would be. The people I work with are just amazing, and I want to thank CITR for letting us use their studio to make these podcasts. I just need to give you all my gratitude. It's been so fun working in the studio and learning so much about the soundboard and a lot more about Audacity, so thank you. My name is Aramis Henius, and I'm 15, and I'm going to school at John Barsby Secondary School down on Vancouver Island in Nanaimo, and I'm from the Klakwakiwak and Awakening Nation, and I come from the tribes of Quetzalcoatl, Nahuatl, and Awakening.
What does your podcast mean to you?
I would say my podcast means to me, like, it's the way that I see it is like a way for me to kind of continue with my culture, kind of. I guess one of the themes for the exhibit that we were touring this year was continuity, or community and continuity, and I guess like doing these podcasts and sharing what I have to say and even sharing a song to sing is kind of a way to continue my culture, and I think it's like an important way, and also to bring awareness and at least give people my input of what is happening, you know, with what I've talked about in my poem, and hopefully they'll have an open mind to what I had to say.
How did you become involved with the Native Youth Program?
Actually 2 years ago, my brother and sister both took the program, and they had so many nice things to say about it. So when I was of age to apply, I did immediately, but I was really scared because, it's my first job. But that's basically how I got involved with the NYP.
What was your connection to your Indigenous heritage before your involvement with the Native Youth Program?
There was a lot, actually. I went on a canoe journey last summer. It was a 10-day one with Anya, Urban Native Youth Association. It was my first time on the canoe journey. And I was also an active singer for the Urban Kwakwaka'wakw dance group. I would usually be there with them when they would do gigs, and I would be the one singing with them. And yeah, I always get involved in trying to learn the new songs and a little bit of our language as well. So that's kind of what my involvement was before the Native Youth Program.
What was one moment that felt transformative for you in NYP?
It was probably like after the first week. I mean, like I'm a really shy and antisocial person. So like when I first walked into the room and had everybody stare at me, it was very nerve-wracking, and I felt very terrified. And I just kind of thought like, you know, it might be a little long before I start connecting with everybody. But it took at least a week. And I guess just being open to everybody and actually expressing myself, because usually it's hard for me to do that, and I'm always like the shy kid. So I guess transforming into being more open with everyone that I'm meeting is kind of like a transformation for me.
Are there any challenges you face in your life that you feel the NYP has helped you with?
Yeah, basically what I explained at first was just being so shy. But one is public speaking. Like, I know I can do it, but I always was absolutely terrified if I had to do any public speaking. It doesn't matter if there was just three people or if there was 300 people. I would usually be shaking, and I would stumble upon my words. I still do, but like, you know, everything's a learning experience. So yeah, and that's basically one thing that really helped me was just public speaking. And like, it's, yeah, that's one thing that comes to mind that NYP has helped me with.
What was your favorite activity or workshop at the Museum of Anthropology?
Oh, there was a lot, but I'd have to say definitely working at CITR with the podcasts and working in the studio. Like, I knew I had the basic knowledge of using Audacity, but like, I learned so much more when we're at CITR, and learning how to use the soundboard, I thought it was pretty cool. And that was probably my favorite workshop. And yeah, that's it about it.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, Aramis.
Well, kids, what do you think of the powwow hosted here in Swift Current by the Living Skies Casino?
# not sponsored.
It was so cool, but they sang in a different style than us. Their singing and dancing aren't like our people back home.
That was called powwow dancing. That's how the Cree people dance here in Saskatchewan.
Why do they sing so high?
That's their style of singing here. But don't they sound like warriors?
They also have sacred ceremonies where their dancing and singing are different than ours, but they aren't open for the public.
Back home in Musqueam, we also have public and private sacred ceremonies, songs, and dances.
Where are we going next?
Yeah, let's get out of here. The prairies are so flat, just like Mom's fry bread.
Hey, smarten up. Anyways, your dad and I wanted to wait to tell you, but we're way too excited. We're going to have another baby!
What? No!
Just kidding. We're just joshing. We're actually going to Alberta now.
Not funny.
Aw, Alberta? It's so boring. Will they at least have fry bread there?
Holy. They better.
First, we're going to visit the head-smashed-in buffalo jump.
Why is it called the buffalo jump? Did the buffalo jump up like the salmon jumped up the stream?
Holy sis, don't be so stupid. Do you see any water around here? How would a buffalo jump up a cliff?
The Blackfoot people would chase and steer the buffalo towards the cliff edge, where they would tumble over and die.
Here the indigenous people ate buffalo, whereas our main diet was seafood. The prairies versus the coastal people's diets are very different. We're here. Would you look at that view?
Jeez, it's so windy, my cedar hat is going to fly away.
So they killed buffalo here?
Well, they killed the buffalo for their livelihood, never for sport. Just like all indigenous people, they were conscious of the environment and life. They took only what they needed and used everything of the animal.
Just like our people, after a kill, we give thanks to the Creator for the gift and the animal for giving us his life.
Can we go to Walmart now? I'm hungry.
Yeah, I want a bologna sandwich and orange pop.
Okay, but after we stop there, we're gonna head straight home.
We better hurry. We're running on Indian time now.
So kids, did you enjoy the trip? And did you learn anything about the other indigenous people in Canada?
Musqueam seems so different compared to all the other nations.
Yeah, but I like our fry bread better.
Yes, but we do have our similarities.
This piece was made by I, Logan Grant. Special thanks to freesound.org for providing sounds, and I would also like to thank Winona, Megan, and Chandel for lending their voices for my project. Hi, I'm Logan Grant. I am 17, and I am from Musqueam.
What does your podcast mean to you?
For me, my podcast is a way for people to see how all Indigenous people are not the same. And yeah, that was basically it.
How did you become involved with the Native Youth Program?
In my, for my community, Musqueam has their own newsletter, and I saw the job application there, so I decided to apply.
What was your connection to your Indigenous heritage before your involvement with the Native Youth Program?
I grew up on a reserve, so I always feel I was pretty connected to my Indigenous side. And I guess this program really helped me explore more of that and learn about other people's nations.
What was one moment that felt transformative for you in NYP?
Oh, God. I don't know. I guess all of it, really. Like, everyone was so accepting, and I never felt that I didn't fit in, so I guess all of it was pretty transformative. I don't know the word. How to say the word.
Transformative.
Yeah, transformative. I feel like all of it was, I guess.
Are there any challenges that you face in your life that you feel the NYP has helped you with?
The NYP really helped me with stereotypes, since a lot of people find Indigenous people are either alcoholics or they think they're not smart. But I found people who are like me and help face these stereotypes and help break them. So I guess that's a challenge that the NYP has helped me with.
What was your favorite activity or workshop at the Museum of Anthropology?
I really enjoyed beading with Winona and Megan, and I think my favorite workshop was actually working with CITR. They helped me learn how to express myself creatively through audio, since I'm used to doing it through visuals, I guess. That's it.
Sweet. Okay, cool. Thanks, Logan.
Everything alive, from us to dragonflies, has a spirit. Our spirits are connected like strands in a dream catcher. Colonization is like a fist that broke through, tearing apart the strands, breaking the connection. We honor, we do not conquer. Decolonization is to mend these broken strands, to reconnect to the land and heal with one another. We all started dancing around a fire. We all deserve to inquire. We were all colonized by the throne, by a crumbling Western system unsustainable on its own. We honor, we do not conquer. Decolonization is pulling away the cycle stemmed from colonization, like weeds from a garden, breaking the cycle of intergenerational trauma, shame, anger. Our spirits are connected like strands in a dream catcher. Colonization is like a fist that broke through, tearing apart the strands, breaking the connection. Decolonization is to mend these broken strands, to reconnect to the land, and heal with one another. I hate everything I write.
Hey, don't say that. Come on, you can do it. Just brainstorm everything you know, or...
You don't know anything. Just give up already and binge Netflix with me.
Don't listen to him. You got this. Just think.
See, when they got off the boat, they didn't recognize us. They said, who are you? And we said, we're the people, we're the human beings. And they said, oh, Indians, because they didn't recognize what it meant to be a human being. But the predatory mentality shows up and starts calling us Indians and committing genocide against us as a vehicle of erasing the memory of being a human being. Communities, how many of us are fighting to protect our identity of being an Indian? And 600 years ago, that word Indian, that sound was never made. Point, evolutionarily speaking, we're starting to not recognize ourselves as human beings. We're too busy trying to protect the idea of a Native American or an Indian. But we're not Indians and we're not Native Americans. We're older than both concepts. We're the people, we're the human beings. Every human being is a descendant of a tribe. So these white people, they're the descendants of tribes. There was a time in their ancestry when they wore feathers, all right? And they wore beads and shells. There was a time in their ancestry, all right, before this colonizing mentality came and did to them to turn them into the white people they are, and then it came and did it to us. The very same thing that happened to us happened to them.
All my relations, reconnect, time immemorial, great spirit, honor, intergenerational, heal, decolonization. In the Bible story of creation, God says, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Aboriginal people have title to the land. It's even stated in the Royal Proclamation. The Royal Proclamation is a document written by King George that sets the guidelines for European settlement on Indigenous territories. Although, as per usual, no Indigenous people were a part of setting such guidelines. Anyways, Aboriginal people have title to the land, but we do not own it. No one owns the land and its inhabitants. We all must respect and honor the land, not conquer it. To conquer is a Western teaching. We honor, we do not conquer. To have a functioning community, we must respect Mother Earth, Father Sky, and each other. To have a functioning community, there needs to be a balance between traditional and Western teachings. For example, having mandatory Indigenous courses early on to combine traditional teachings from time immemorial into a Western institution would help everyone decolonize and would better support Indigenous students who statistically are the least likely to graduate. We all were colonized by the throne, by a crumbling Western system, unsustainable on its own.
Wow, you finally wrote it. Good job.
Why did you even write this, though?
I think it's important to remember that we were all colonized, whether you are Indigenous or non-Indigenous. Together, we all need to work towards reconciliation and decolonization. And we all need to remember that everyone's decolonization process is different. I want to give acknowledgments to all the knowledge keepers who made this possible. Thank you to The Real Indian Documentary for the clips of John Trudell. And I also want to give a huge thanks to my mother for sharing so much knowledge with me and for being an amazing Aboriginal woman figure in my life. Lastly, I want to thank my Aboriginal support worker at school, Shauna, for introducing me to the amazing Native Youth Program. And a special thanks to my favorite teacher ever, Ms. Jelena Bighorn, for providing an unforgettable Indigenous course. None of this would have been possible without all of these important knowledge keepers. My name is Eden Loren, and I am Métis from Korean Sioux descent, and I'm currently going into my last year at Vancouver Technical School.
What does your podcast mean to you?
My podcast is about what decolonization means to me, and how I personally decolonize, and just the importance of decolonization, and how the process of decolonization is different for everybody.
How did you become involved with the Native Youth Program?
My Aboriginal support worker, Shauna, at my school, she sent an email to my mom about the program, and they both helped me apply for it, so that's how I found out.
What was your connection to your Indigenous heritage before your involvement with the Native Youth Program?
I've always had really strong Aboriginal women figures growing up, and that's really helped me with my process of connecting to my culture and revitalizing my culture. And so I did have a strong connection to my culture before coming in, and I was also taking Aboriginal courses, First Nation Studies courses at my school just recently, and that also really helped give me the vocab that I needed to express some of the uncomfortability and the intergenerational trauma and just everything that I had been feeling. It helped me give that vocab so I could speak up and feel comfortable speaking up. And so, yeah, I did have a little bit of a connection to my culture, and I did have a little bit of the vocab coming in.
What was one moment that felt transformative for you in NYP?
The whole program has been really transformative, and like I think the highlight of my life, honestly. It's been really great, and I guess my favorite part of the whole program is just the creative liberty throughout the program, the space to just be creative with and be able to kind of do whatever I wanted, from beading to podcasts and cedar weaving. There was lots of opportunities to express our intergenerational trauma and shame and anger through art, like as a group. So that was really cool.
Are there any challenges you face in your life that you feel the NYP has helped you with?
I think that it's helped, like with the tour giving, it's helped with my public speaking skills and my confidence, and just being more comfortable speaking up and to public. And it's also helped teach me how to share my teachings and in an easy way for people to understand.
What was your favorite activity or workshop at the Museum of Anthropology?
Oh, well, I liked all of the workshops, but I think my favorite was, I really loved everything, because we just had a chance to do, such a variety of arts. I just loved all the creative and workshops, and meeting all the, all the Indigenous artists was really inspiring and influential. They gave us a lot of tips that I'll use in my own art, and so I can't even really choose. It's just everyone that I've met, everything I've learned, all the workshops and all the different various art forms that I learned. It was all really cool. I can't even choose, really.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Thanks, Ian.
When I was younger, me and my mom were sitting at the bleachers of the protocol tent at canoe journeys. The metal bleachers were like ice as the night air started to feel crisp. My mom was a savior as she wrapped me in a fuzzy eagle blanket, and slowly but surely, the music lulled me to sleep. Hey. Uklama, Kotitsumti, Kots Common Its. Hishdukshit, Neutronals, Hishdukshit, Meti. Hi, my name is Kots Common Its. I'm also known as Hannah Kerr, and I come from the Neutronals and Meti people. What you heard me describe before the song is a memory I recall from canoe journeys when I was younger. I think that was about the time that I began to really appreciate traditional music and dance. And, for some reason, the memory of falling asleep in the protocol tent just really sticks out to me. It was so calming, and the energy was amazing. And music has always felt like a way for me to connect with my culture. The song you heard me sing after the mini sound story was written and composed by my mom, Tla'izma Aksu, also known as Candace Kerr, and is a song to thank the creator for the beautiful day and acknowledge the interconnectedness of everything. She wrote it out at Departure Bay Beach by looking out to the horizon line and singing it. So when the song gets higher, that's the mountains meeting the skyline. And when it's lower, that's the ocean meeting the skyline. Music has always had a great influence on me. And it's been a large part of my journey. And especially the traditional singing has kept me in touch with my culture. And it might have been the first thing that made me feel very proud to be Indigenous.
Do you know any songs, Hannah?
Well, I can only remember one right now, and only a bit, but it's the Marshall Family Love Song.
Ooh, play it for me!
Okay, I guess so. He no he 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 no he na yo. Hinaya, hinayo, he, heya, he. Just played the Marshall Family Love Song, made by my great-great-grandpa for my great-great-granny Susie, and I recall the specific memory from another time I was on canoe journeys, and I was on the support boat with my auntie Vina, and I played her the song, and I remember feeling so happy and proud to be able to share it with somebody, because I was younger, and I never really had the chance for just me to be able to share some of my knowledge with someone else. And I said before, music has had a great effect on my journey, and it's really influenced me. And I've been talking about my journey and my whole story as if I know it all and it's over. But the kind of cool thing is that it isn't, and it's going to change and get bigger, and so will my love of traditional music. So the podcast you just heard was made by me, Hannah Kerr, and I would like to give credit to Jeremy Dutcher as I used one of his songs for the background music. I would also like to once again acknowledge the creators of the two different hand drum songs I sang. So the first song was made by my mom, Candace Kerr, and the second song was made by my great-great-grandpa, Tommy Marshall. And last but not least, I would like to thank Megan and Winona and the Native Youth Program, because without it, I wouldn't have been able to learn how to create this podcast. My name is Hannah Kerr, I'm 15, and I'm from the Neutronal and Métis people.
What does your podcast mean to you?
Oh, I don't know. It was just like, I think it's important to talk about like what you think connects you with your culture. And I think what really connects me with my culture is music, whether it's traditional Indigenous music or non-traditional Indigenous music. So.
How did you become involved with the Native Youth Program?
My Aboriginal support teacher at my school told me about it, so I applied and then got in, and it's been super fun.
What was your connection to your Indigenous heritage before your involvement with the Native Youth Program?
My mom would often like take me to different things and different events, like at the Friendship Center, not during the summer, but on Tuesdays they'll have West Coast Night, and so that's how I try and stay connected with culture, especially living in the city away from my family. So we'll do that sometimes. And then anytime I would go back to the island, if there was like something happening there, I would go and do whatever was happening. So.
What was one moment that felt transformative for you in NYP?
I don't know if there's anything that was like really super transformative, but I think the whole program, I felt like, I don't know, it really made me want to like reach out more and start to learn more from my family and try and seek out knowledge more. It made me want to know more about my culture, so maybe that was transformative. But it wasn't exactly a moment. It was just, like, slowly, like, gradually, I wanted to gain more knowledge, so.
Are there any challenges you face in your life that you feel the NYP has helped you with?
I think maybe just being able to tell when someone... Oh, wait. Let me think for a second. Like, being able to tell when someone is being degrading, even if it's in, like, a small way, and, like, being able to tell why I feel uncomfortable about something or a situation, and, like, just giving me more of the language to be able to talk about it, so.
And what was your favorite activity or workshop at the Museum of Anthropology?
I honestly, probably my favorite thing is... like making the podcast at CITR, like it's super cool, and I already loved editing before, editing film, so then coming and editing here was like a different type of thing, but kind of similar, and I really, really liked it, so.
Awesome, okay, thanks Hannah.
Thank you.
Big J, and I'm coming straight out of the res. Crazy mod trucker named Big J. I'm from the gang called Natives with Attitude, and I'm not in a good mood. We got the bow and arrow, and we don't play. We're going out hunting, we'll be back on Sunday. I'm the king, and I'm here to stay. Growing up, my favorite toy were pods, but my enemy were frickin' res dogs. Yo, it's Big J, I'm coming straight out the res. Well, I'm Simon, and this is Simon Says. Yo, I'm done with this beat. I'm about to let my boy Artemis hop on this beat.
Yo, it's Artemis coming straight out the bay. I'm with the homie known as Big J. This is my land and you have nothing to say. Told me to sign a treaty, but I said, nope, we ain't do no deals with the Pope. I'm native, so I eat more spaghetti than Italians. I ride around the hood on my horse and stallion. I have way more followers than Jimmy Fallon. I got 3 number one singles. These other rappers are no name. I'm Pringles. I do collabs with Redman. We got bars for every grain of sand. Remember, it's not Canada, it's Turtle Island. A copper shield chain is what I'm gon' cop. I run hip-hop. Your last EP was a real flop. Now with that, I'm done. Mic drop.
Doot doot, it's Nardwar the Human Servia coming up next with an interview with Big J. Who are you?
I'm Big J, OG Gangsta Crip.
So, James, I understand you have an LP that's coming out soon. Can you tell us a little about that?
Haha, how'd you know? That was a surprise album that I was about to drop in a few weeks. Only me and the team who worked on it knew about it.
Christmas isn't over yet! I understand you went to Britannia Secondary School. I, too, used to go there as well. I also see you used to sport the fro. What has happened to that?
How do you know all this stuff? Yeah, I rocked the fro in my day, but my hair changed, unfortunately.
You cannot have that information, but you can have this CD. Does this CD have any significance to you?
Actually, yes. It's the first rap album I've really, like, enjoyed. If I haven't heard it, I probably would not be into rap as much, and I would not be rapping right now.
I am so sorry, James, but that's all the time we have for today. See you next time on the Nardwar Show. Doot-doot-doot-doo. Keep on rocking in the free world.
You are now about to witness the strength.
Huge shout out to Aramis, Alex, Tristan, and freesound.org for helping me on my podcast. Thank you. This would not have been possible without you. Because every day is summer, this is just my day. Hi, I'm James Woods. I'm from the Nass Valley. I'm 17 years old.
What does your podcast mean to you?
I made my podcast about rap, but at first, like, I wasn't really into, like, creating my own raps and stuff, but then the program helped me kind of, like, I don't know, I guess, find that talent, and, yeah, my podcast is on rap now.
How did you become involved with the Native Youth Program?
I had a few family who were in the program, and it was them who, like, told me about it.
What was your connection to your Indigenous identity before your involvement with the Native Youth Program?
I had no real, like, connection, but I know it's a hard question.
What was one moment that felt transformative for you in NYP?
I would have to say the time we had that circle outside. It was like a 2-hour long circle, and we kind of just talked and stuff. Talked about, like, teachings and stuff.
Are there any challenges you face in your life that you feel NYP has helped you with?
Yes, public speaking.
What was your favorite activity or workshop at the Museum of Anthropology?
I would probably have to say the beading workshop. Yeah, it was just super fun doing beading. It seems lame, but it's super calming. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, James.
This has been Who We Are, a production by the Native Youth Program. We would like to thank Winona North Pagan and Megan Jensen, the Museum of Anthropology, Pam Brown, Jill Baird, CITR 101.9 FM, all our guest speakers, and thank you to Musqueam. For more info on the Native Youth Program, visit moa.ubc.ca/NYP.